He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off a cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been almost 7 years now when someone in this congregation asked this prospective pastor, "So what's your favorite gospel?" Do you remember my answer? Bob wasn't even here and he knows. It is the Gospel of Luke. Luke, as you may recall, is one of the most poetic of the Gospels, perhaps also prophetic. Let me back you up to the place our gospel reading is today, because today's gospel is both Jesus' inaugural address and, within a matter of moments, is the first time in the Gospel of Luke where the people in, well, it's not the first, there was Herod, but that was Matthew, want Jesus dead. So let's go back to the beginning, to the introduction of Jesus. It's when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. It says, "Mary, you are going to bear a child. Don't be afraid." And Mary's response was the Magnificat, this beautiful song of remembrance. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel to remember in remembrance of his mercy according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. So before Jesus is even born, Mary is singing about the great reversal, where the high will be brought low, the low will be lifted up, because God remembered. Last week we talked about God hearing the cries. God remembered. And so we continue. Jesus is born. We've gone from Advent to Christmas. The incarnation. God made flesh. God Emmanuel. God announced as an infant. Announced first to shepherds, but announced with a whole choir of angels, a multitude of angels singing, "Glory to God, this little baby, this helpless baby, is your answer." The great reversal. God didn't come as a mighty king with a mighty army. God came as a helpless infant to be one of us. Now, we don't hear much about Jesus' childhood. What we hear next is about his baptism. We celebrated the baptism of Jesus on January 13th this year. But this is another event where the Holy Spirit is present. God is present. God is vocal. God says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him as he comes up and out of the waters of his baptism." And here's where some of the story gets condensed. Jesus comes up and out of his baptism, but is immediately driven into the wilderness by the Spirit for testing, for fasting, for prayer. And after 40 days in the wilderness, after his baptism, Jesus comes out and he's tempted by none other than the devil himself. Singing on eagle's wings in a rich voice. And Jesus avoids temptation. Jesus knows the Word of God. Jesus is accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And he conquers temptation. And so the next step is to go to his hometown. And that's where our gospel today picks up. Came back to his hometown. We don't know how big Nazareth was back then, but probably not a booming metropolis. Everybody knows everybody. You know how that goes, Galesburg, right? And he picks up the scroll and reads from the prophet Isaiah. And right here, he sounds so much like his mom. This reads almost like the Magnificat. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recover sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is good news for those who have always had somebody's thumb on their back. And the people rejoiced. He rolled up the scroll. From the Isaiah reading, we just read that Isaiah reading today. Imagine someone sitting right up front, reading the lessons like we always do on a Sunday morning. And then the reader getting up and saying, today, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Would it be a goosebumps moment? Or would you think he was crazy? Well, initially, apparently, it was a goosebumps moment. All spoke well of him, the text says. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, wait, isn't this Joseph's son? That was a Swedish name, you know. Josephson. But then Jesus has to push it just a little bit further. And he starts talking about foreigners getting God's favor. The truth is, he says, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. But Elijah was sent to none of them except the widow of Zarephath. There were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha. None of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off a cliff. I lift this up to you today because our lectionary isn't always fair to us listeners. We hear the stories of triumph, and they're compacted and compartmentalized. But we don't very often hear the next sentence. Do you know what happened after Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead? It was a great thing, wasn't it? Lazarus came out. Lazarus is alive. The next sentence says, so from that day on, they planned to put Jesus to death. It happened at that pool, the healing pool, where the people who were able to get to the edge of the pool when the water bubbled up were healed. And there was one man who was there for so long. And Jesus says, do you want to be made well? And he says, yes, but there's nobody to help me to the pool. So Jesus says, get up and walk to the pool. And he did. And in all of our children's storybooks, that's where it ends. And even in our lectionary texts, that's where it ends. But the next sentence is always, and then the people in power wanted to put Jesus to death. Even the feeding of 5,000. After Jesus fed everybody, They wanted to keep him for their own purposes. Man, we'd never have to go out for lunch again. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm about. What is Jesus about? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And it's not just for insiders. Jesus goes so far out of his way to talk about people and to talk about their nationalities in ways that other people would have just spit those words. Syrophoenician. Canaanite. Samaritan. People in our country spit words too. Jesus says, I came for them too. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set them free. And so Jesus loved the Canaanite, the Syrophoenician, the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes. Jesus lifted up the Samaritan as the one who was the good neighbor. And it got him killed. Lent is a time when we look toward the cross. It's not an easy story. It's not where it ends in the children's Bibles. But that's the story that saves us. The story. The choir sang it this morning without even singing the story. The more light we give, the more love we'll know. We are light bringers into a world that wants to close its eyes. We are love bringers in a world that wants to pick and choose who God loves. Nobody has that right. For God so loved the whole world. There are, I imagine, churches in America this morning that will say, it's okay for us to stay among we and ours. It's okay if we proclaim that Jesus loves one people more than other people. But that's not what Jesus ever came to proclaim. If he were wishy-washy, and if he had played into the hands of the religious leaders and the government leaders of his time, he never would have been crucified. But he was. For the sake of us and the world. There will be churches this morning where the pastors are afraid of the people in their pews, afraid to speak a word of truth. afraid to say that white supremacy is a sin. We know otherwise. And I'm grateful to God for all of you who welcome and embrace all people, because we've got work to do, shining God's light into this dark world. There's a vigil tonight at the Islamic Center in Moline. My friend Rabbi Henry Karp invited me to go. We can understand that better because we had the three amigos here. We're not separate. We're humans, all of us created in the image of God. All of us just looking to be free to worship God without fear. So I'll be at the Moline Mosque tonight. If you want to ride along, I can take extra passengers. And if you're not at that place yet, I don't judge you. But to follow Jesus, our call is to remember our baptism, to remember that we are anointed to join God in God's mission. Not to join the world in whatever's easiest, but to join God in God's mission. To shine a light. And we all know it, you know. My light is not all that big a deal. But my light is charged by the light of Christ. And it's joined by your lights that are charged by the light of Christ. And when we start lifting up all of our lights together, hate loses. Is that what we want? I hope so. Jesus came, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, and here's the big therefore that points us to Easter. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let that light shine. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.